Good morning to each and everyone this morning, and welcome. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. We're so glad that you've come to be a part of our worship service this morning. We've just come off of a great week of revival, and now today we're celebrating a special day. It's always a special day on the Lord's Day when we come together, but now to celebrate that this building's been here 100 years, that God has granted us this time, and for many of you people who have worshiped here throughout the years, and we have, it's great. God is so good to us. And so we honor him for that. But most of all, God provided all of it for us. And so we're thankful for that. So we praise him for that. Welcome to each and every one. We're so glad that you're here. We pray that the Lord will bless you in a very special way through the service. The Holy Spirit work with you and encourage you, strengthen you in your walk with Christ. I want to share a few verses from Psalms 85 as we begin. It reads like this. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto the land, and thou hast brought back the captive of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath and hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thy anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? That's what we wanted. We want to be revived. We want to be drawn back close to God, that we can just rejoice in the goodness that he has for us. Amen. Let's begin.
For hymn of worship this morning, I'm going to use number 54, singing the first and last verse. This all stand. For communion, he'll be using number 154, 154, first and last verse.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I claim within my stand. To know no gain or loss. yourself my only shame, the glory of the cross.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and break it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take it, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink you."
Since we have visitors with us this morning, let me encourage you. This communion table is arrayed for all born-again baptized believers in Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you think that we're closed communion, it's not, you're welcome to partake of the communion with us. Thank you. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to come together with people of like precious faith to worship you, Heavenly Father, and honor you. But how great it is to come around this Lord's table and be reminded of your wonderful love that you have for mankind, willing to give your son and his willingness to go to the cross and shed his blood that we might have the right relationship with you, dear Heavenly Father, that we might be prepared for eternal life, that we might have the joy of this life and the life to come. So Heavenly Father, as we partake of these emblems, help us to realize and help us to be reminded of the price that was paid at Calvary for our salvation. Heavenly Father, help us to be more grateful day in and day out for this wonderful thing that Christ has done for us. And it's his name we praise you and thank you. Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house, and it's so good to be in the Lord's house, and we appreciate each and every one that is here to be a part of our day. Our main purpose on the days like this is come to worship God and give him thanks for those things that he's given to us and he's granted to us, and God is so good, and certainly to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, and so that is our main goal here, but also, as you know, this is a special day, too, that we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of this building being here for us to worship in and so forth. And we took the verse from 1 Corinthians 15:58, and therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we recognize all those folks that have been gone on before and their labor has brought it. And we can say, certainly, their labor is not in vain because they've made it possible for us to have a wonderful place to worship and to praise God and to join together as fellow Christians. Okay, we don't have any. Well, let me encourage you also, and you probably know, everybody that's here probably knows that this is a special day, and we're going to have after our service, we're going to have a meal together, and then at 2 o'clock, we're going to come back together and reminisce some of the things that took place during those 100 years back. So we want you to be a part of that, and we're glad that you're here to be a part of that. And Danny, I'm going to go on and say to you, because when we get done singing, you just preach to us. And I'm so glad to see Danny and Kenny's family here this morning. Been a while, boys and girls, since you were here, haven't it? And I think some of your family's born here, weren't they, while you were here? Didn't you? Some of your family born here while you were here as ministry? I read in the minutes, you know, because you had to miss a meeting because it was a baby, newborn baby, I think it was, or something. But anyway, we're so glad to have you back. And Danny is, if some of you don't know, Danny ministered here some years ago, for several years, and so it's just an honor to have him come back and speak to us on this special day. Now, again, we've just come through a good revival and so forth, and so next week we'll pick right up and go right on, and we're not going to let the revival die. We're going to keep that going. We want to revive this. The community want people to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We want people to experience the goodness of God in their lives, and so we must keep that going. And we're going to keep this building and keep this place in shape so when we're gone, other people can come just as we did and worship this great God that we have. Amen. Now let us think, though, as we come to this time, we always like to remember those on our prayer list. We don't mention everybody by name, but we have several people on our prayer list. And we'd like to ask you to continue to keep them in your prayers, your daily prayers. Certainly are glad that we see a couple people here that hasn't been able to be with us the last few weeks. We're glad to see you here. God is so good, and God is still in the work of helping his people. And he helps us materialistic, he helps us physically, and he helps us spiritually. And we're so thankful for that. So pray for these people that things will work out in their lives. Pray that they will look to God for the answer to their difficulties, to their answer to their problems, to the strength for their physical bodies also. And then also we want to remember our nation, where our nation is at a turmoil. And I don't have to speak on that. You know what's going on in the world and in our nation. And certainly we need to pray for the leaders of our nation that they will seek God. I would that every one of them would be a Solomon that would ask God for wisdom day in and day out and direct and guide God's people in a good way. So pray for the leaders of our nation. Pray for the service people that we just would desire, God, that we would not have any more wars, that we would not lose young people in conflict, that we would not have people with that is maimed, Heavenly Father, that to come back and live lives like that we could be free from all that stuff. And we just pray for those people, those young people, those people in the nursing home care homes that can't be out. As I mentioned from time to time, right now there's nobody. Yes, there is. Well, no, from our congregation in a care home and nursing home. But we do know some people that are there. And those people I know, as I've experienced in the past, as we visit with them, they long to be here. They long to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. And so it must be a tremendous sadness, I'd say, I guess, to be in a home and not be able to get up and go and come to, like you folks, to this place and honor our God with people like you. And so pray for them that they would be comforted, the Holy Spirit would be among them today and stir their hearts and bring joy to them. Let's see, other... And then it's church. And can you imagine down through the 100 years, the prayers that's been said in this church and for the many, many things that has taken place. And so continue to pray. This place is an answer to prayer. I read the reading the history of this place, and there were some people got together and prayed that they ought to be a church at Porter. And God honored that prayer. And that's where we're at today. So we can see that prayer works mighty things. God is a wonderful, he's a miraculous working God. He does things that we just can't imagine, and we're so thankful for that. So we have so much to be thankful for, yet there's so many needs in people's lives and your lives and our lives to pray about. So as we come to our prayer time, be mindful of them. But again, let me encourage you, take this bulletin home with you. Keep this list where you can see it and pray for them daily, if you will, please.
For a prayer hymn, use number 92, sing the first and last verse, and I will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. Sweet hour of prayer,
Father in heaven, we thank you again for another privilege you granted us together in your house on the Lord's Day. Sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. And be with the ones mentioned on the prayer list this morning, comfort and store them back to their original health that be thy will. Be with us through this morning service as we take whatever benefit they have to say today home and apply it to our hearts. Now give us where we fail thee. These words we ask in thy name. Amen. Invitation hymn be number 334. Now the choir, I guess, will bring it.
It is just a great honor to be back with you folks today. I think as I was recollecting, and you know, the older you get, sometimes the harder it is to recollect. And I think the last time that we've actually been here, I was invited back, I think, about 23 years ago for a celebration. I think they were celebrating Stella's 77 years of playing the piano. And just what a blessing that was to do that. And I remember back as a younger man, probably not near as wise and knowledgeable as I am today, as I'd come out of one experience at a church that wasn't really good. And I had the privilege of coming to this congregation that just accepted us with love and warmth. And excuse me for getting emotional, but that's kind of who I am. Love and just put their arms around us and encouraged us. As in just a few years, I'd be headed off into active duty as a chaplain and spend another about 37 years serving as a chaplain for the United States Army and being able to minister there. And a lot of that was due to just the comfort and encouragement of the folks here at Porter Christian Church. And probably as will be repeated in the ceremony at 2:30, just a lot of great ministers have come through this congregation and from this congregation that have made an impact. Not only in this community and state, but really throughout the world. So it is my honor and my privilege to be with you today and to share God's word and hopefully be able to continue in this theme of continuing steadfast in the Lord. Because I think that Porter indeed is a witness of being steadfast in the Lord. And Benny, you're right. Our youngest child, our daughter, who couldn't be with us here today, was born, I guess, while we're here, about in the middle of our ministry here. And we're glad to have my oldest son and his family. And three of their children, our grandchildren, with us. And I think maybe this is the first time they've heard me preach. So. Now that's sort of a privilege and maybe scary because you know how honest kids are. But again, we just thank you for what you have meant in our lives and in our ministry. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, now may your Holy Spirit guide my thoughts and words that they'd be according to your will, to lift us up, to challenge us, to help us to continue steadfast in you and in your love and in the promises that you give us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I've chosen to use as the basis of the sermon this morning, actually the book of Colossians. Now, I'm not going to read all that, okay? I'll read portions of it. But I think Paul follows that theme in this book to the Colossians to continue steadfast in the Lord. And I'd encourage us today to hear those words. And just as you have remained faithful in the last 100-plus years, may God, through His Word, and encourage us and encourage you to remain faithful in the coming years. And if the Lord delays His coming, even for another 100 years. And Paul says in Colossians, the second chapter, in the sixth verse, he says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him." In other words, he's repeating that, continue that steadfastness in the Lord. And we see that the church at Colossae had a threat to it. It wasn't the threat of necessarily physical persecution, endangering the church. It wasn't necessarily the outside force that was maybe challenging to the church at Colossae. But it was the false humility of false teachers and false doctrine and erroneous traditions that could maybe be their demise. And so Paul encourages them not to indulge in that, but to be steadfast in the Lord and in His Word. Ephorias, the Colossian preacher, visited the imprisoned Paul at Rome and informed Paul of the success and imposing threat of the church at Colossae. And as Paul was sending Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave, along with Tychicus home to Colossae, Paul took advantage of that occasion to send the Colossians this epistle to encourage them to continue as they had begun. He exhorts them, since they had received Jesus Christ as Lord, to continue to live in Him. And this would quench any threat of false teaching. So Paul stresses in his prayer for them, as we'll read in this first chapter of Colossians, that they should continue in the word of truth, the gospel, that they should continue in a life worthy of the Lord, and that they should continue in thanksgiving for their redemption. Listen to Paul's thanksgiving and petition to the Colossians as I read from Colossians, the first chapter, the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from our God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And just think about this prayer that Paul is praying, not just for the Colossians, but for you. Maybe for Porter Christian Church. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that sprang from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all of its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son, He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Paul prays for the Colossians as we can apply that prayer today to us. He says, first of all, continue in the word of truth. What makes us steadfast in the Lord? What makes a congregation last 100+ years? It's continuing in the word of truth, the gospel. The threats to the church today, whether they be division or legalism or traditionalism, or whether it be the political correctness that the society would pressure us to succumb to, all these can be quenched as we continue in the word of truth, the gospel. Paul's concern for the Colossian church was that they remain holy and faithful brothers in Jesus Christ to that message of the gospel, the message of that truth. Because the word of truth produces faith, and a continuing and growing faith in Christ. We through that study of God's word and being faithful to God's word, we come to that unshakable belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, in which the fullness of the Godhead and the deity dwells, that He is God, that we trust Him as Savior, who is the only one able to forgive our sins and reconcile us back to the Father, to, to span that gap which sin has caused, that we might be called sons and daughters of God. And the truth of the Word will help us be continually committed to Him as we steadfastly serve Him as the Lord and Master of our lives completely. So we see the Word of God produces faith in Jesus Christ, an ever-growing and strengthening faith. Paul says here that the Word of truth produces love for all the saints. Someone said faith comes first and then love. Love without faith is only sentimentality and perishable humanitarianism. However, faith without love is cruel. Worse than that, it is utterly nothing. The Christian life is primarily directed towards two people. First of all, Jesus Christ. And second of all, as Paul calls us here, the saints. W. Fields in his commentary says, saints means holy ones, sanctified ones, those set apart unto God. Many people are bold to speak evil and do evil. Let us be bold as saints. John 15:12 tells us, love each other as I have loved you. And the word of truth also produces hope. And how we need that, don't we, in today's world? In the evil that we see around us, the ungodliness that we see around us, that word of God, if we immerse ourselves in it day in and day out, will produce that hope that is the springboard of faith and love. Hope is the assurance of heaven. Fields goes on in his commentary on this passage, and he said, if heaven has lost its appeal, go and study John 14 and Revelation 21 and 22 on your knees. Meditate. Pray over them until the light of heaven's glory crowds out the last bit of love for this world's gaudy glare. And think about that. The world's gaudy glare. We just came back from New Orleans. We had a military reunion down there. And we saw some world's gaudy glare down there. and it just emphasized to me just how we need that hope as we see maybe the spirituality of those around us decaying, but we can stay true and strong as we stay in God's Word. And the Word of truth should produce fruit by the proclamation from faithful servants. And I think Porter Christian Church is a witness to that as we see the faithful servants that have been here and that have influenced even the world. And we see that the Word of truth produces the fruit of the knowledge of His will. As we study and immerse ourselves in God's Word, that question becomes a little clearer. Well, what is God's will for me? What is God's will for my life? And it gives us a guide point to go from. And the fruit and the truth of God's Word helps us to produce the fruit of spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we need to continue in God's Word and the truth of the gospel as Paul encourages the Colossians. He also says continue in a life worthy of the Lord. And we all know that no one's life can, in and of our own goodness, be worthy of the Lord. William Jennings Bryan once said, the man who tries to keep a book account of the good he does never does enough to pay for the bindings of the book. Our lifestyle must be pleasing to the Lord. And Paul tells us on over in Colossians the things that this lifestyle should not be and the things that it should be. As you'd read Colossians 3:5 and verse 8 and 9, Paul says this. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And then verses 8 and 9, he says, but you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self. And then in the 12th and 17th verses, he says these are the things that your life should be filled with as you live a life worthy of the Lord. Now listen to what he says here, beginning with the 12th verse. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. And we see that this is the key, that we need to live that life worthy. We need to rid ourselves of those vices and just immerse ourselves in these virtues that Paul tells the Colossians that they need to do. And we see that that lifestyle that we have in the Lord Jesus needs to be pleasing to Him, to rid ourselves of those things that He doesn't want us to have, but to develop those things in our lives which He would desire for us to have as He served as His servants. And when we do this, then our lifestyle will be a lifestyle of fruit bearers. All our activities must be done in order to accomplish the good for Christ's sake and His glory, to accomplish the purpose of the gospel, as which the scripture says is that we're to go out and to seek and to save those who are lost, to build one another up in Jesus Christ. In doing that, our knowledge must be centered in God's will. And our lifestyle must find strength in God's glorious might. And Paul encourages the Colossians here to depend upon God's strength and not their own. And when we do that, he says here, we can have great endurance. We can get through the hardships of this life. We can get through the temptations that Satan throws at us. We can get through the experiences that tear many down if we have that faith and strength in that mighty God that we serve. So we can have great endurance. We can have great patience. Someone told me one time, said, no, you never should pray for patience because God will surely test you. But yet we need patience, don't we? And God's great strength can apply that. And I think, thankfully, that we can have great joyful things. As we think of what God has done for us, our hearts should continually, as we live that style that the Lord would have us to live, be in a state of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us, all that He will do for us, and that promise of heaven and redemption that He's given us. And Paul says that third thing is that we need to continue in that thanksgiving for redemption. You know, I think many times some of us that's been Christians a long time, we maybe don't think about our redemption maybe enough, that we just take it for granted. You know, I've been a Christian 40 years, 50 years, maybe 20 years, but we can never forget about our redemption, can we? Our forgiveness. So Paul says that in order to continue steadfast in the Lord, in order to continue as you've begun, we must continue in that thanksgiving of our redemption. Thanksgiving to God for our redemption causes us to realize that all sufficiency of Jesus Christ, that without Him, that redemption wouldn't be possible. And we need to thank God continually for Jesus Christ, for God loving us so much. As John 3:16 says, that He had sent His Son to die for us, to take our sin, and that we might could take His righteousness. we need to continue in thanksgiving. Because as Paul says here, the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Qualified us. Because in and of our own works and deeds, we were what? Disqualified, weren't we? Sin disqualified us. But through Jesus Christ, He qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. And Paul says, this is the kingdom of light. This is the kingdom of light that a dark world needs to know. And this brings us into a deeper fellowship with God as we continue in that thanksgiving for our redemption. We just become continually aware and amazed why God would love us and how He loved us. So we continue in thanksgiving because He rescued us from the powers of evil and brought us into His kingdom of the Son He loves. What beautiful words. And we need to meditate on those and think about those, that our redemption is in Christ Jesus, the one who came to forgive us, to take our sins upon Him. He was undeserving. He was perfect. We talked about being perfect this morning in Sunday school, but Jesus was perfect, perfect. He wasn't just good or a good name in the neighborhood. He had no sin. But what does Scripture say? That He became sin for us, that He might present us before God as we place our faith and trust in Him as righteous. This morning, the best defense against false teaching and a threat to any church, the best defense that we can have to continue steadfast in the Lord and be here another 100 years is to continue in the word of truth, which is the gospel. Continue a life worthy of the Lord and to continue in thanksgiving for our redemption. May your faith and love, which spring from the hope of heaven, allow the gospel to produce food, fruit, and growth in this church, in this community, and throughout the world. Allow God to rescue from the dominion of darkness and bring you into His kingdom of the Son He loves. This morning, that's our challenge. And if you're here and happen not to be a Christian and you don't know about this redemption and this thankfulness that you need to God, that we give you that opportunity to learn more and to come and to accept that, to allow God to rescue you from that dominion of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of the Son He loves. This morning we're going to be singing a hymn of invitation and dedication and decision. If you have a decision to make, I'm sure Brother Benny and some of the elders would be glad to come and talk to you if you want to come forward. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 334, Just As I Am, and we'll be singing the first and last verses. Let us stand. I believe, O Lamb of God.
Again, I appreciate the invitation to be with you today, and may God bless you and just continue to be with you and give Porter Christian Church at least another 100 years.
Amen.
Thank you, Danny, very much. Thank you for the good message. We're so glad that you've come, and we're so glad that you are here. And I know you're here because you love the Lord, and more than that, He loves you. And so thank you for that, and may God bless you. And please do stay with us and finish the day with us. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the good message, Heavenly Father. We need to be reminded, continuously reminded of your love and the sacrifice of Jesus did for us. Without Jesus, we have nothing. With Jesus, we have it all. And we thank you for that, Heavenly Father. So as we come together in times like this, as we rejoice in the fact that this life is not all, there's a greater life yet beyond this. How good life is here because of your love and your generosity, your kindness toward us, but yet we look forward to the great time when we all come together around thy throne and meet Jesus there face to face. Thank you, Almighty God. Now bless each one as we leave this place or as we continue together here this morning. Bless us and help us to do those things in your sight that is good for one another, we pray in Jesus' name.